The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We are live inside of the Ticketmaster Studios, where in about an hour and 15 minutes, we're going to get a chance to chop it up with our head coach, Raheem Morris. And, Mike, today, you can ask those questions you've been asking all week long about the quarterback situation and why it seems as though he, along with the organization, is reluctant to potentially make a change.
Yes, we all agree that we would not have gotten to 6-3 without Kirk Cousins, but we wouldn't have gotten to 6-7 without Kirk Cousins. So I think it's two sides to that coin. So we'll ask Coach about what will it ever take. I mean, is there a point in this game? I know hypotheticals are always the bugaboo for interviews, but we'll try. If there's a point in this game, things aren't going right. Are we going to see Michael Penix at all this season? You know, and we'll get into that. And also, I want to just yes or no: is Kyle Pitts doing the job? Is he happy?
No.
I know that's like three or four on the list of things we got to ask, but we'll get into that.
No, you know, I'll help. You know, no, he I is just, not, and no.
I want to get some clarification on that. So, well, that's all coming up today. About between the 3 and the 4, we believe about 3:30. Falcons on the practice field behind us as we speak.
AJ Terrell's going to join us as well. And, you know, he got his bag, rightfully so. And he's been playing well. It is not all his fault that the secondary fell apart last week. I put it more on the safeties, Mike, but we'll ask him about it, and we'll talk about the challenges moving forward and maybe what he's seeing with Kirk Cousins in practice. Because, again, these guys are seeing him every day. Are they seeing the same things that we're seeing in games?
Right. I mean, and the defense. Well, also, you and I spent a lot of time this week because, again, we're pushed back a day because they're going to Vegas, of course, and it's Monday Night Football. But we'll ask him about, you know, you had success against the Chargers, and it seems like we got a little more aggressive against the Vikings, but you got burned because they're just better players on offense against the Vikings. And we'll ask him if that's how it looks to him on the film. But, again, crucial moments. We just talked about it with Andy and Abe. This is no walk in the park. I know everyone scoffs in Vegas. I mean, we're only a 4-point favorite against the worst team in the NFL, or the tied for the worst team in the NFL right now.
Yeah, but we're sliding, we're fading, we're all the things, you know, we're leaking, all the terms that are used around the league. And so I think a lot of people say, yeah, Falcons should win, but they probably won't win by a lot simply because of the way that they played.
Right.
What you're asking this football team to do after 4 weeks of certainly terrible quarterback play as a whole. Now, Kirk hasn't been terrible the entire season. We know that. But as the last 4 weeks have shown us, I think most people are looking at this game and going, do I really expect them to get back on track and, more importantly, score touchdowns in the red zone when they're not doing a whole lot of that? I told you guys, we're like 30%. One of the worst teams in the NFL in red zone efficiency during this losing streak. So it's been an issue, guys. 404-726-0929. By the way, Mike mentioned it at the top, but Bill Belichick is going to address the media after taking this UNC job. I told you, this is going to be comical. I cannot wait, not just for this, and we'll play some of it for you throughout the course of the show, but also, Mike, just throughout the course of the college football offseason, how he handles situations, when we get back to the start of next year, to me, I'm just going to sit back and be entertained because I think this is going to be very entertaining.
And the other thing is, and like we don't get a chance to talk. We'd love to talk to Terry Fontenot, and hopefully at some point before the season's over, we will. But or somebody on the station will. But interesting, you and I were just talking with Chris, our producer, before the show of the Seth Wickersham article today at ESPN, basically talking about Belichick's how did he get to Chapel Hill. And one of the things that came up was his reluctance, or at least when he was meeting with the Falcons, when a lot of folks felt it was a done deal, that maybe not having a vibe with Terry Fontenot as far as draft strategy in the big picture. The phrase know-it-all draft strategy came up.
Well, I think it's, for me, all right, the most interesting part of this article is that Bill Belichick turned off so many people in the NFL that he felt he was not going to get another shot. Think about that. We've talked about his winning, his Super Bowls, best defensive mind in the history of the game, blah, blah, blah. And he pissed off so many people, in his mind at least, that this is a rebellion, Mike. And to me, that's the, like the Falcon thing, we all figured, right? And we talked enough about it. He wanted to fire everybody in the building. Right. And this is more proof. He was not going to see eye to eye with Terry. But I also think the bigger thing is, for all you Belichick people out there who keep telling us this was the right deal, the entire NFL, in his mind, was turned off so much so that he decided, I'll go to college.
Now, look, if we wind up not making the playoffs this year, there'd be a lot of Falcon fans going, well, they should have just fired everybody in this building, because even if you felt Belichick maybe won't be able to regain his Super Bowl form without a guy like Tom Brady, who doesn't grow on a tree, obviously, that it was still a waste of time. But if we don't get to the playoffs, and if we blow this lead, and this strategy of taking a quarterback and drafting, which made no sense, still makes no sense to me, this is something where people are going to look back and say, hey, I don't know what do you consider success for North Carolina, a team that no one ever considers a team that's really fighting for a national championship. They put individuals in the NFL over years, from Lawrence Taylor to Mitchell Trubisky and everything in between, but I don't think anybody thinks Belichick's going to win a natty in the 2 or 3 years he's going to be there. But is this going to create a trend where coaches say, look, I can make just as much money in the pros, and now the college is a de facto semi-pro league, I can run it? Like bringing a guy like Lombardo in who's going to basically run this thing like it is an NFL team? I don't know.
Yeah, look.
I mean, Bill O'Brien's obviously had a good level of success in Boston College in his first year back in college.
But, Mike, I believe, like, the structure of how you're running your school and your program, I do agree that, like, you can structure it now like an NFL front office. There's no doubt about that. But it still doesn't mean you're going to have success. And when you go back and you start looking at North Carolina, okay, and you start looking at the history of the program, right, Kirby came in and he took the program to another level, but Georgia's always had success.
Right,
they were winning. You know, Vince won a national championship. They've always had a level where you went, that's a damn good program, man. But you know, how much better could they be? Go look at North Carolina, guys. Just go take a glance at how many double-digit win seasons they've had. When you start talking about going back to 1997, 95. 93. Mike, they're so far in between when you start saying, well, North Carolina, can they be a real contender? It's the fifth best program in the ACC, not in the country.
No.
In the ACC.
And if you can get in the tournament, as we saw, like even maybe Clemson can throw an upset here or there. They'll have Texas coming up next. But, yeah, I mean, it's a winnable conference. And then once you're in there, as we said, you punch your ticket.
Yeah, but my point is, like, this is a traditionally has been a 3, 7, 6, 8. This is not a 10, 12 win team consistently.
That's what I was saying. Their high watermark was Mack Brown 1.0 when they battled Florida State back in the 90s. And that was about as good as it got, you know, and that is about as good as it gets for North Carolina. I know, and you know, it's just a program you look at and you say, and look, I'll say it right now. I think there's 90% of the ACC you can't envision winning a national championship right now.
Yeah.
And that includes Georgia Tech. And Bill, but that's why we believe certainly coaches is going to turn that around, and that you are going to Brent Key and Bat as athletic director. They're going to change that, and you can do it with money. We're going to find out, because look, SMU was literally the definition of dead. I mean, they got the death penalty, right?
They did.
And here they are battling for a national championship.
So this is what's changed, and I know you say it all the time, and you've been right. The top 15 teams are the top 15 teams. But when you give parameters about spending now, which is part of college football, and you allow everybody to have this number, whatever it's going to be, 22, 25 million, and have a budget, Mike, what you are doing now is you're saying the same thing that happens in the NFL happens in college. You know what that is? Your GM becomes your most important guy. Because that's the guy that's going to decide, along with your head coach, the money you're spending on these potential players that you're bringing in. Get the wrong guys, your program's crap. Get the right guys, you have a chance to potentially compete for a national championship. Everybody thought Deion was crazy when Deion left and went to Colorado and said, he can't win. They haven't won any games.
Right.
The bottom line is they're 9-3, and to be honest with you, they should have been a double-digit win team this year. But I think part of that is he understood, Mike, hey, I can do this in the portal. We don't even have that cap thing yet.
Right.
I can do this in the portal if I bring in the right guys. That is the part where you think Belichick may excel because he does have an eye for talent. It's just been the quarterback thing.
Look, putting a staff together, I mean, it's kind of like Belichick's Island of Misfit Toys, because as we know, his coaching tree is a stump.
Yep.
You know, I mean, guys that have – now, Bill O'Brien had a degree of success with the Texans. I think you could argue, you know, Saban doesn't count. That's college if you talk strictly in the pros. And we all know that Nick Saban is
– I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The gold standard. But what is it going to look like? How is he going to relate? The relatability thing, I don't think, as I said, that kind of goes out the window. I think you just want it. You go where you're going to play, and you go where you're going to make money.
You believe that?
And that's where. And if you've got a guy who's an NFL personnel guy, and you can apply NFL personnel moves to college, then it's the same bracket, basically.
I do think you can bring part of your team in that way. I still think recruiting, and Kirby's showing you this. Ohio State's still recruiting kids. Like, you have to have a foundation of recruiting, Mike. You can't turn it over, and your program is a prime example of that. I don't care who you are. You can't tell me you can change 70 kids out year in and year out and be competitive.
Right.
Change quarterbacks every year and be competitive. The idea is exactly what I see Kirby doing in Athens, and that is there's a balance. I still have a heavy recruiting base. We're still going to be top three or four or whatever it's going to be every year, but I'm going to supplement this thing. And I think anybody who believes just because there's spending involved that now that's the way to go, I don't believe that. I think you still have to recruit a high school base of kids that grows with your program.
Right. And the other thing is, what is the end game? He's going to be 76, 77 and still coaching in Chapman? That's why I think it's 2 or 3 years. He gets in, he gets out, and he has a degree of success. I'm not saying it's going to be a failure, because we just talked about all the elements that can be in place, especially with a commitment from North Carolina to spend that kind of money. You just mentioned Thomas Castellanos. He was recruited, a local kid, by the way, recruited by Gus Malzahn to Central Florida, went to Boston College. Now he comes down for his 1 year of eligibility to Florida State. And as a booster, I'm saying, are we never going to develop a kid from high school NFL anymore? You know, the last guy to do that was Jameis.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, to me, I don't think it's a winning formula.
All right, we got to get some Hawks talk in here, and we will. A lot of people excited about what the Hawks are doing right now, and you should be. We are live at Flowery Branch, guys, inside of the Ticketmaster Studios. Mike and I are talking about this Belichick thing because it is fascinating. It just is.
Yeah.
Nobody in their right mind thought the greatest coach in NFL history would be like, I'll take the UNC job.
And by the way, if this guy ever – I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible because we just laid it out with this new expanded playoff. If he wins a natty, that's a whole other conversation for that. Now you're the greatest of all time at all levels, you know?
It is. That would be something to see. I don't think it's going to happen, but we'll see. Man, he's got an opportunity to do whatever he wants. All right, we're coming back. Hawks win last night at the Garden. There are two – main reasons this is happening right now. We'll tell you about it next. It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live at Flowery Branch. Hawks beat the Knicks 108-100 last night.
By the way, I know Ray's listening, Trey's dad. Your son lied to us. He lied to all of Atlanta. He does want to be a villain. Because when you win that game, And he did admit that him and his brother were talking about it.
Yeah.
You do a choreographed routine where you're rolling some dice, baby. You embrace it. That's why I said to Trey, don't be passive aggressive. Take it on, man. Be that guy.
By the way, that was a great celebration because you're headed to Vegas. That is why the rolling of the dice plays so well there. But if you're not paying attention to the Hawks, and maybe you are now, maybe this got your attention. This is, when this team has been healthy, how good they played all year. And let's just be frank. DeAndre Hunter and Jalen Johnson, all the reasons. Jalen Johnson, guys, again, is having one of these, who the hell is that guy kind of season around the league because, again, when you watch him, you go, all right, 6'9", oh, handles the ball, oh, rebounds, oh, block shots, oh, takes it to the basket, oh, dunks on people. Like, he's doing everything. But Mike, DeAndre Hunter last night, did I not say he needed 20 or more points right. in this game for us to win? I said, if he has 20 or more, we win. DeAndre Hunter's hitting shots we've been clamoring for him to hit the last 3 years.
And after the game, you know, watching some of the stuff on TV, I mean, did somebody just get him an energy drink? Because remember, we used to joke around about DeAndre Hunter, you put a mirror under his nose, make sure he's alive on the – he's just so animated now. I mean, maybe having the kid, something in his life, I don't know. I don't care.
You're right.
He's working. He looks great. I mean, he's a difference maker in this game. And it was about halfway through the third, and it was kind of like Knicks looked like they could take it. And then Trey hadn't – again, he's still not really feeling it from the arc. And then he hits those 2 3-point shots. That was huge. And at the end of the game, is it just me? Where was the sense of urgency with Thibodeau and maybe trying to foul or trying to work it? They just basically threw in the towel. You know, but the last 6 minutes of the game is kind of weird.
We went on a 24 to like 2 or 4 run. We were down 11, and then we were up 12 before you knew it in the third quarter. And
right.
Look, Trey was sparked last night. You know, they started booing him, and I think it, okay, we're going to go there.
Right.
Trey can do what he's doing, guys, every night. The difference is, again, he hasn't had the other dudes to step up and do, including Dyson Daniels, Mike.
Right. And Dyson Daniels was great. I mean, again, this was kind of, I think for a lot of folks, you know, wow, look at this. Yeah, maybe a little bit of a coming out party because it was at the Garden. Certainly you'll get exposure for the Hawks when they take on the Bucks in the semifinal out in Vegas. That's huge. I mean, you saw the atmosphere, whether it's, you know, you want to call it a fugazi, but they created a real buzz about this, and LeBron and the Lakers certainly didn't help. By the way, Steve Kerr is livid that, of course, if you didn't see what happened to Golden State last night, oh, world's smallest violin. But anyway, this is great for the Hawks, great for the brand, and certainly great for getting Trey back in the All-Star game.
It's exciting. And look, all I would tell you is give him a shot. Like, if you're like us, like many fans, and you go, well, let me, we've been frustrated because, to Mike's point, the organization, it has felt like, and it has been to some extent, hasn't spent the money, hasn't made the necessary trades, moved guys too late. All right, well, what are you going to do about Trey and DeJounte? Like, there's been more questions than answers. Right now, for the first time in a long time, there are none. We're just watching a team come together. They like each other. They're playing together. Your stars are shining. And your young guys are balling. And all of a sudden now, Mike, you're like, oh, okay, this ain't bad. Like, this is kind of cool.
I love watching this team. We talked about this the other day. I heard Andy mention it with Abe and heard Randy talk about it earlier in the week. When's the last time this team was fun to watch? You really have to go back to 21. I mean, you really have to go back to watch. This team is it's fun. There's a flow. They finish. They don't fade. You know, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm using all the F words except the ones you can't say.
True.
But no, they're just, and they're fun to watch. You know, it's just, there's just all these things. And, you know, and DeAndre off the bench works. You know, they didn't really go deep in the bench last night. Okongwu was solid. Everybody did their job. I mean, you know, smaller sample size, but Reece Hoshea was solid. Didn't embarrass himself. It's great.
It is, man. Hawks outscored the Knicks in the second half, 61-46.
I just thought the Knicks, I'm not saying quit, but I just didn't see any urgency down the stretch from the Knicks, man.
No, I totally agree. Here's Trey, by the way, talking about the elimination factor being part of the motivation last night.
Yeah, I mean, the elimination part makes it even more exciting and more intense for not only me but everybody. So I think that's the part that makes it made it fun tonight. To be honest with you, I get up for every night. I mean, there's a lot of people in every arena that we go into and play, and obviously this is one of the grandest arenas in all of sports. So it gives you a little bit more motivation, but at the same time, every night is a great time to take advantage of the opportunity.
Wow. Just think back just a few short years ago, how Trae Young was saying, you know, the regular season ain't like the playoffs.
Right.
Maturity is a wonderful thing. If, in fact, he is in that mindset, look out. Because, Mike, that's a killer mindset. That is, where are we at tonight? New York? Going to go kill these guys. Right, where are we at tonight? Philly? Right. I'm going to kill these guys.
The fact that, you know, again, if this is what it takes, having this cockamamie in-season tournament, hey, so be it. But I think you're right. The maturity thing, the way he's embraced Reece Hoshea, the way he's taken the leadership mantle. And look, it was just strange bedfellows with him and DeJounte. They can say all the things about how they were friends. It was stupid. It was dumb. The good news, it took us 2 years of wasting, unfortunately, you know, time and talent. But we get Dyson Daniels, and we get everything which we seemingly need on this team. So now, hey, man, let's go win this thing. Go get a trophy.
No doubt.
Do you hang a banner for that?
Did the Lakers? I think the Lakers did somewhere.
Well, I don't know. With all the banners they got, I mean –
they hung it somewhere.
Maybe a small one. But, I mean, but if we're up here, yes, I would hang it. I'd rather see that than the old widespread. Panic band they used to have.
Hey, man, put it out there in State Farm. It's right. Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's hear Trey talk about his relationship with Nick fans.
Oh, it's a love-hate relationship. I mean, I got a lot of love and a lot of hate, I guess, from them, but I got a lot of love from them, too, so it's respect.
Well, yeah. As Eric Lindros used to say, it's a love-hate thing. They love to hate me.
Which is a great line.
Yeah,
you know, I think when he says, you know, it's a lot of respect. Listen, there was some. I tweeted it out from Instagram. I retweeted it, should I say, or you know, sent it from Instagram, where Trey's getting ready to go back to the locker room. So they're talking to him there, and he's on the floor. And then as he's walking to the locker room, he's literally telling Knick fans, I told you.
Yep.
Because he was saying it before the game. And Knick fans, like some of them are trying to reach down and grab him and touch him. And like there is this fascination with Trey that I'm like, I don't quite get it because Knick fans have seen almost everything.
Would've been
it's
great.
Crazy.
Get your filthy hands off me, you damn dirty Knicks fan. Yeah, man, it is great that he did it. And again, going back to 21, it was a real toxic environment. We're talking about getting spat upon and all the nonsense the Knicks were pulling. And it was great to see this, all the money they've invested, all the stuff they put into this Knicks team, and they look. I'm not saying soft. Okay, I'll say they're a little soft at the end.
A little bit.
A little soft in the middle.
It's not what I expected.
No, when the game was on the line, one team stepped it up. The other kind of said, well, I guess we're not going to Vegas.
Yeah,
okay. Half a mil is half a mil. I don't care how much money you're making.
I totally agree with that. All right, one other thing about the Hawks advancing. That was the quarterfinals last night. Now they move on to the semis. 4 o'clock, I believe, the game is on Saturday, and it will be on our sister station, WAOK. No, it will be
Army-Navy's on AOK. It'll be right here on 92.9
The Game. That's correct. You're right. That's right.
We've got Army-Navy. We carry it every year. So that'll move to our AM, our brother-sister station.
That's right.
WAOK, and you'll hear the Hawks right here from Vegas.
All right, yes. So 4 o'clock? I want to make sure people know. Yes, on Saturday is that semifinal game from Las Vegas. All right, 4:30 is the tip.
New York Times headline, how Trae Young and Atlanta silenced Madison Square Garden.
Well, it's not the first time, and it's right. Certainly the way I feel it's not going to be the last. This was a big play in this game. I felt like the game was wrapped up, but Trae alley-oops to DeAndre Hunter, and they asked him about this because he did a little skip afterwards. Like, here's Trae talking about that play.
I played that one with my little brother a few days ago. We had talked about that, and I knew what I was going to do. We're going to Vegas, so that's what I had to do.
Of course, he's talking about rolling the dice. The alley-oop, though, if you remember, if you saw it last night, it was just one of those moments where you just felt like, okay, game's over. We've got total control. Knicks are not going to make a run. They're not going to come back. And to me, Mike, this is the thing. Talking about a team that a lot of people think defensively may be the best defensive team in the Knicks, we shut them down.
Well, that's the thing. I was looking at the SI article on the Hawks. They were talking about, you know, we're top 10 now in everything as far as 8th in points per game, 6th in field goal percentage. 3-point shooting is still not there. We're 19th when it comes to threes.
They didn't shoot the three well
right.
last night.
No, and imagine when we start shooting the three with this team. The one thing, though, on defense, we're 28th in points per game, 20th in field goal percentage. The other thing is we need some size. I know we like what we have with Okongwu, and Capella certainly is got some juice right now. I would love, if this continues, I think the one thing we would need, I need a bigger piece in the down low.
Okay.
I think the old school five, whatever you want to call a center that can clean the glass, or somebody who can have a little bit more presence down in the paint, because that's what you need when you get in the playoffs and it gets more physical.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to look too far ahead, but I think if there's one thing you could add on this team, that'd be it.
Listen, I don't disagree. I mean, for me, always scoring, meaning guys that can shoot
right. Another piece off the bench don't hurt.
Because Trey can get guys involved. And then that aspect of things, Mike, because size matters in playoffs. And sometimes we've run into teams that are just bigger than us.
A lot bigger than us.
And they've just, you know, they've right. been able to control the glass and defensive rebounding and all that stuff. We will see. I do not know how far this Hawks team can go. I do think they are one of the funnest teams to watch in the NBA, and you should probably give them a shot.
I'm enjoying the ride right now. I've been more – you know, it's funny. We talked about this. I've been more into this Hawks team earlier in the NBA season than I've ever followed and really been watching every game, because when football is still on – you know, I hands up, I'm going to lie to you. I'm one of those guys who gets ramped up and amped up after the All-Star breaks. I always felt that's when the intensity comes up. But this in-season tournament has created what the NBA
wanted.
And Commissioner Silver wanted. They're
yeah.
getting it.
Yeah, no doubt. You feel it with the fans. You feel it with the teams that are participating. Milwaukee is up next for our Hawks. Congratulations. Fun game last night, man. 404-726-0929. Lots of guys hitting us up on social media. We invite you to follow. follow us. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929, and follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on in the world of sports. As one of our listeners said, is this DeAndre Hunter's coming out party? It's hard for me to say that when you've been in the league 6, 7 years. But it is.
But there's a different energy. As I said earlier to you, there's just a different vibe with him. He's engaged. But put it that way. I guess. I know these guys get paid buku bucks, but sometimes it's hard to figure out what's going on. Bright buttons are being pressed in that man's life right now. It's great.
When we come back, the Daily Download, which will include how the Falcons are prepping for Vegas as we're live at Flowery Branch.
Sports, I know you prep for Vegas. Pack a sport coat.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We've been talking a lot today about Bill Belichick, who accepted the job yesterday to become the new head football coach at the University of North Carolina. And we were talking about this article that is really good. Seth Wickersham, who is a really good writer, really does a terrific job of these in-depth pieces and investigative reporting kind of deal, talking about, and these are the words he used, and this is not me saying this, Belichick's feelings toward the NFL shifted. He felt like people in the NFL had let him down, and more importantly, because he only had one opportunity, which was us, and then that didn't play out. But the way he feels about ownership in the NFL is one of the reasons why he made the decision to go to college. With that said, he did speak today, and I want you just to hear a little bit of this. We'll play more of it throughout the course of the show. But, Mike, you said how long is he going to be there? What is he, 72? 72. Here's how he answered that question.
Pat Welter, WRL. Bill, what do you say to people that fear that if you do succeed here, that you might leave for the NFL again in a year or two?
Yeah, well, I didn't come here to leave.
Right on, Coach. Go Tar Heels. Carolina Blue.
I didn't even know how to react.
He's going to be here forever.
They were like, did he say he's not leaving?
Yeah,
like every other coach that's come here? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And then they brought out Wilford Brimley in the cast of Cocoon, and Belichick said, we'll never get old and we'll never die.
That's funny. Here's the thing. Do you believe
him? We'll be here forever.
Do you believe him? That's the question.
3 years, okay. Tops.
Okay.
75.
All right.
Think about what, you know where I'm 75. I know where I want to be when I'm 65. It's not going to be doing that.
No, I'm not. Yeah. If I don't have to. I mean, obviously,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, well, I didn't come here to leave.
Maybe I have to. Okay. That delayed applause.
Yeah,
because they
coach.
Were like, North Carolina, look, the alum, the big boosters are in the room, and they're like, did he say he's not leaving? Like, did I hear that? Oh, my God.
I'm never leaving.
Now, is it true that Bubba Cunningham, the AD, had like a sleeveless jacket? Chris, you saw, is that Orin? Because obviously we don't have access to that live feed here. Say it again, Orin.
Yeah, he gave him a sleeveless hoodie, a sleeveless Carolina hoodie.
Jeez.
Okay.
That's drinking the Kool-Aid.
I didn't come here to leave.
Yeah.
It's just that one.
We don't know him yet, but we don't want him to leave. Yes.
It's that one person in the back that's just
right on, Coach. You're with you 100%.
I'm sorry. It just, that makes me laugh because it's so awkward. Here is Belichick. Why are you coaching at your age? To Mike's point, how much longer do you want to go? Why, Coach?
I'm roughly your age, so I ask you this respectfully. Just at 72, why do you want to keep coaching? What's in it for you? You've proven yourself over and over, and your legacy is set. Why keep coaching?
Well, it beats working. You know, when you love what you do, and my dad told me this, when you love what you do, it's not work.
Yeah, well, it's not if you're making $10 million either.
Right.
Crazy stuff about this article, and then we'll get to the Daily Download real quick, Mike. What if I told you they never had dinner together? What if I told you Tom Brady and Bill Belichick never had dinner together in their whole time together in New England?
That wouldn't surprise me.
That's part of this article. The other part of this article, Mike, is talking about how they are, and you mentioned this, going to try to run this, and I think they will, like an NFL team. They're going to have a pro personnel department. They're going to have people that obviously scout high school and the transfer portal, but they're setting it up like a front office in the sense that, you know, everybody's going to report to Lombardo, should I say, and right. Then, you know, Bill's going to be in on these decisions. Again, I don't know if it works. We'll see more and more programs try to do this, but this is how they're going to go about it. And Bill will multiple Zooms with various people that he trusted, his confidants around the league, Mike, talking about the idea of how he would do this. And so this just didn't come out of the blue. That's the point.
Right.
He didn't just get a phone call from UNC and was like, oh, he was investigating and studying and doing all these things behind the scenes. And then, you know, this opportunity came about. I think it all has to do with how he felt. He didn't get a shot in the NFL, and therefore he was not going to get a shot in the upcoming season. We talk about the jobs that are open. What he's telling you is he already got word behind the scenes from Chicago, you're not getting this job.
Right.
Jacksonville's not open yet, but you look at the jobs that are, and you go, well, wait a minute. You wouldn't hire Bill Belichick? Jets, he's not going there.
Yeah, and the one that made the most sense to me was Shad Khan, you know, in Jacksonville. It was funny, Mike McCarthy was asked about, because I'm happy that Belichick's not coming here to replace me. So, you know, he's being tongue-in-cheek about the fact that he still has a job right now and probably will next year. The one thing that I found was interesting from the Seth Wickersham articles on ESPN.com, quote, listening to Fontenot discuss drafting systems last January as if he knew it all bothered him. So we always knew that Belichick, we told you this. There was going to be no collaboration. Some guys didn't want to hear that.
No.
As if somehow Belichick was going to sing a different tune after 50 years in the NFL of doing it his way. So, yeah, and look, I'm not saying that I argued with Carl about this the other day. I don't think Belichick would have handled the draft the way we did it. But, you know, he was never going to be in a situation anywhere in the league where he was going to collaborate. He was going to bring in his people, his former, you know, assistants, you know, guys that worked in the front office and make it happen. You know, so Bill was asked, Ross Dillinger just tweeted, Carl, from the press conference, it continues, will Belichick make in-home recruiting visits?
No.
I'd love to do that. Absolutely.
I don't believe it. I just don't.
Yeah.
I think he'll be a closer.
For a five-star quarterback, he's going to do that for, this is the craziness of it. It literally is like bizarro world. That, yeah, you're so wherever you are in America, that Bill Belichick is going to darken your door and convince you to come to North Carolina. I can't see it.
I don't either. All right, guys, plenty more to get to. We'll let you hear more Belichick. Listen, this is what I said. It's straight comedy for me. I mean, I am going to be laughing the entire time as this all plays out.
Right.
Whether he wins or not, I have no dog in the fight, guys. I don't care. All I care about is the fact that either he succeeds, right? And it's incredible. And to Mike's point, it enhances his legacy, or he doesn't. And this is a complete fail. And guess what that does? Because now you're the best in the business of what you do and the greatest NFL coach ever, and you just failed at the collegiate level.
Coach, talk about that loss against Clemson. That's 45 points they put on you, Death Valley.
We're on to Wake Forest.
That's it. That's it.
That's it.
That's it. We know how this is going to go. All right, man. Big O, more of Belichick later. If you think that's good, stick around. We got more stuff for you. We're live at Flowery Branch, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's get to the daily download. We're live at Flowery Branch, Mike. How do the Falcons get ready for this Vegas challenge? Not the game, not the team. It's about us. And I say that because it's so frequent we hear coaches say that. But literally, it is about us. It is about how we get out of this funk, right?
Right.
So today, I roll up. I'm going to tell you guys, we're you know, the fields are literally right behind us. Mike, they got Christmas music playing. Guys are jovial.
Right.
Guys are jumping around. This is not Sadville up here. I'm just telling you right now.
Right.
They are all about getting this thing moving in the right direction. Now, will we? I don't know. But, like, I drove up today, and when I heard the Christmas music, I was like, okay, cool. That's what it should be, because this is about us. The Raiders aren't any good, but you still have to go beat them.
No, I mean, I think fans expect, and this is what's funny, the difference in the disconnect. You expect everybody to be walking around with their head down.
Yep.
It's just, like, and I get it. What was the phrase we used about Russell Wilson? Toxic positivity. Well, I'm not going to say that Coach Raheem Morris is toxic positivity, but he's a positive person. And, you know, when you're not winning and when you go and you lose four games, that's why I know when we hear some of the answers, we ask the questions, you might not get the answers. You're like, we'll try again today, coming up here in the 3 o'clock hour. I mean, people want to, I think, and this was always my thing with Matt Ryan, so I understand the position. People want to hear the coach and the players sound as angry as the fans are. And that doesn't work that way.
Really?
Matt Ryan was never going to sit there and go, this is some blanking BS. And, you know, it just wasn't – you weren't going to get that. I mean, I understand you want it. I want them to feel as miserable as I – not the way it works. They're on to the next week. Now, one thing for certain, nobody's taking this for granted. And you know, when Raheem talks about, you know, last on Monday talking to the media, yeah, we're on to the, you know, it's a tough game Monday night. It is a tough game. It's a road game in the NFL against the guy who's one of the best at getting the quarterback on the ground in Max Crosby.
No doubt about it. We're going to talk with Coach coming up here in about 20 minutes, so stay tuned for that. Let's get to story number two. We've been talking about our Hawks guys, and rightfully so. They advance in the NBA Cup to the semifinals in Las Vegas. We were talking about Dyson Daniels. Here's Quinn Snyder, the head coach of the Hawks, talking about how he defends elite scorers night in and night out.
There's times when it looks like he's beat, but he's able to recover so well. And one of the things that really hurt us is, you know, when someone is, whether it's Brunson or somebody is getting in the paint, we overhelp, you know, and then the ball gets sprayed out. And there was a number of threes where that happened. So, you know, he's a special defender. And
by the way, in New York, Karl-Anthony Towns is getting killed, Mike.
Oh, yeah. You talked about it, you know, it's just because they have the size. He's kind of like that, you know, that Al Horford, that sort of positionless basketball jump outside guy. Not, you'd think he'd just be crashing the boards and taking it to Okongwu and Capella.
He got in his head. Certainly, you know, you look at the points and you go, well, yeah, 19. He didn't do crap in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but again, it's the box score doesn't always tell you the story. Yep. When do those points come?
Yep.
So, that's the thing about DeAndre Hunter. It used to drive me crazy. DeAndre Hunter would go through like the 6 or 7 minutes where he wouldn't score, or he'd just be like, come down, clang, or just a bad shot. That's not happening now. He's in the flow of the half court. Everything that's working, you know what I mean? There's no bad, even if it's a bad miss, it's like they come back and score off it. It seems like everything's in a nice flow on both sides basically right now for DeAndre.
I agree. And by the way, he was 4 or 5 from beyond the arc last night. So, you know, he's hitting his threes.
Right.
I mean, he took 15 shots. That's where he should be night in and night out. Give me 15, 18
right.
shots. Give me 20, 22 points a game. We are going to be just fine if he continues to play at this level. We'll talk more about the Hawks, guys, and what it means for Trae Young as he starts to resurge as a guy that people around the country are saying, oh, yeah, I remember him. Because, guys, he hasn't been in the spotlight because the team hasn't been good enough over the last few years. Games like last night, Mike, put you back in the spotlight.
I do like what I saw last night. Again, we've been talking about the Hawks the last couple of weeks. And, yes, I get it. It's early days, and there is sort of an impression that at some point things start to ramp up. But this style of basketball flies. It plays on the road. We've seen what they can do at home. Yes, that was one where they rested some guys on Sunday. They got smoked by the Nuggets and Luke and Joker. It is what it is. But, I mean, this team's over 500, winning big games, finishing games, and they're in it. So, again, I think this is one where everything you wanted to see has happened. And I got to be honest, the things we're doing now, we weren't even doing necessarily all the time in 21.
No, we weren't. It's a very good point. And I do think defensively, this is better. They're a better defensive
right.
team. That team could score because we had vets
right.
and everybody.
And look, we love Capella. I'm just saying. A couple guys said, what do you got against Capella? Nothing. I'm just saying. I was surprised he was retained this year. I thought we'd try to get a little bit younger, a little bit bigger.
No, I'm with you on that. We got more to get to. We got a Thursday night football game. Should be a good one, guys. Rams at San Francisco tonight. As the West is kind of getting there up for grabs. Listen, the Rams, I said this, they're a very good football team. It would not surprise me if they win tonight. San Fran's favored by 2.5 points on the Thursday night game on Amazon. All right, we're coming back. NFL Blitz is on the way. And Mike mentioned the thing about Belichick yesterday about this 400-page manifesto. He was asked about this. We'll let you hear what he had to say about that coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, I didn't come here to leave.